Welcome to Healing Place Church, where our mission is to be a healing place for a hurting world. We hope to enrich your life through reaching, serving, giving, and building. As you listen to this teaching, be inspired to fulfill your God-given destiny through the power of His Word.
I want to talk to you a little bit about the middle. The middle. Turn to your neighbor and say, the middle. Turn to your other neighbor and say, the middle. I want to talk for a few minutes about stuck in the middle. Let's pray. Father, we love you. Thank you for all that you're saying today. Thank you for our worship time. Lord, being a generous church that wants to make a difference. Lord, I thank you for our time of prayer and all the things, Lord, that you're doing in each life. Teach us today, Father. Teach us. Help us not to be stuck in the middle. Stuck in the middle. We love you so much in Jesus' name. And everybody said a good amen. Turn to your neighbor and say, I'm glad you made it to church. Look at the other neighbor you didn't want to talk to and say, you're sitting in a good seat by me. I want to read this story, Luke chapter 8, verse 22 through 27, out of the Message Bible. It's one of my favorite passages. I speak on this often, and I believe it's an incredible picture of the journey that we're on, even as a church. It says a lot of different facets about the mission and the purpose of God. So let me read this to you. Luke chapter 8, verse 22 through 27. One day, he and his disciples got in a boat and said, let's cross over the lake, or let's cross the lake. In the NIV, it says, let's cross over to the other side of the lake. So they get in a boat, and Jesus says, let's cross the lake. And off they went. It was smooth sailing, and he, speaking of Jesus, fell asleep. Would you think about that? Jesus Christ, the Son of God, Lord of lords and the King of kings, he falls asleep. A terrific storm came up suddenly on the lake. Water poured in, and they were about to capsize. Then they woke up Jesus. Master, Master, we're going to drown. Getting to his feet, he told the wind. That's interesting. Jesus spoke to the wind and said, silence. And the waves, quiet down. And they did. The lake became smooth as glass. Then Jesus said to his disciples, why can't you trust me? You ought to write that down on your notes. Maybe you're taking notes on your phone, but you ought to write that thought down. Why can't you trust me? They were in absolute awe, staggered, stammering. Who is this anyway? He called out. He calls out to the wind. He calls out to the sea. And they do what he tells them. That's an interesting statement. They look at Jesus and say, who is this man? He speaks to the wind. He speaks to the wave. He speaks to the elements. And they do exactly what he says. They obey him. I love this story. If you study the scripture and you start realizing where Jesus is in his journey, these are some great flowing days that our Messiah is having. He's preaching one day, teaching the next day, loving in one city, performing miracles in one countryside, casting out demons. He's constantly during this stage of ministry about the Father's business, day in and day out. Matter of fact, the Father's business is open like 16 to 18 hours a day. It's just one city, one teaching, one sermon, one moment, one family. It's going on and on. But on this day, something happens. At the close of this day, I mean, everything is going on. It's been an amazing day, but he's tired. Our Savior is sleepy. So he speaks to his disciples and says, let's go to the other side, other side. Now remember, there's not something on the other side. We could talk for a few minutes about there's someone on the other side. And what does it teach us? That there are many people on the other side of the things that you're walking through. Some of you going through things right now and you wonder, why am I going through this? It's not really about why, it's about who. So often we wonder about why me, why me, why me? And God is saying, it's really not about you. It's about the person you're going to help on the other side of this. Do you know there are, listen to me, there are people waiting for you to get to the other side so that you can help them to the other side.
They're wanting you to break free from your addiction. They're wanting you to get out of your depression. They're wanting you to walk in victory. Why? Because through your victory, it's going to help them find victory. So sometimes we can't be so selfish about what we're going through. What about me? What about me? What about me? What about me? And the Lord says, it's not about you. It's about you getting to the other side, because when you get to the other side, it's going to provide a pathway and a bridge for somebody else that doesn't even know me, that's even worse than you. You mean to tell me, Pastor, there's people worse than you? There's a whole lot more people worse than you. Turn to the person next to you and say, I'm worse than you. As the shoreline gets in the distance, Jesus gets to the stern of the boat, and obviously he finds a cushion or a blanket or a robe. He cuddles up and he falls asleep. I don't know if it's the rocking rhythm of the waves, but Jesus Christ falls asleep, takes a nap. I think that's amazing, because it kind of tells us that a nap is like heaven approved. Some of you are like, I've been waiting on that man to say something. That's interesting, the last 10 years. Then a storm happens. Because storms are going to happen anytime you go on a journey, especially to purpose. Storms are always going to happen when you decide to go to the other side to help somebody else. When you decide to change your location, guess what? Storms are going to happen. Don't be surprised by the storms that come into your life when you decide to live a better life. Don't be shocked by them. Storm happens. There's a gust of wind. There's lightning. There's waves. And all of a sudden, the disciples get out of hand. They've not seen anything like this. So the disciples get in this frenzy. They lose their mind. They begin to panic. They begin to yell, get the oars, hurry, somebody bail. We're taking on water. And it gets crazy. Now, these men are used to the water. These men are used to a boat. These men have seen storms, but they've never seen a storm on that lake that could actually capsize the boat. And they're in the middle of the lake. I mean, they're far from both sides of the shore. They're right in the middle. And this storm shows up surprisingly. They took off. Everything was clear. But now the storm has showed up and they are panicking. How many know sometimes in the middle of a storm, it's hard to keep your bearing? You see things, you imagine things, you think things that are not true. And so they begin to they are screaming, they are yelling, they are going, we're drowning, we're dying in the middle of the lake. But then if you shift scenes, meanwhile, there is a calm eye in the midst of this storm. You ever heard the expression, he or she can sleep through anything? This is it. Jesus is sleeping through the storm. Gliding, cow, pow, woo, woo, gust of wind, woo, rain, pow, it's cracking, popping, wind, woo, bell, roo. How many of you know somebody that can sleep through anything? I mean, it's like crazy stuff going on, and they're asleep. You're sleeping. You ever had a storm that maybe came by your home and it woke your spouse up, but you never even heard it? You didn't even know what happened. You walk outside, it's wet, limbs all down in your yard. What happened? I mean, sometimes our kids will bring home friends. I'll fall asleep and I'll get up in the morning. There's like 20 people at my house. I'm like, when did y'all come in? What did y'all do last night? It's like we did a dance party till like 3-4 in the morning, and I didn't even know what went on. Other than I knew it was holy. This is very important. He can sleep through anything. Why can Jesus sleep through a storm? He knows that it's not the boat that keeps him from drowning, but he who shelters his life. God shelters the journey. He has been he is being sheltered by the powerful hand of his heavenly Father. So he's not worrying about the boat going down, because when he got in the boat, he said, "We're going to the other side." Guess what? If Jesus says the other side, it means the other side. If Jesus says we're going to the other side, it's not interpreted we're going to drown in the middle. You know, the lesson we learned from that is you never doubt in the dark what God Almighty speaks in the light. And so he's not worrying about drowning. He's asleep. The boat's rocking. There's water in the boat. And Jesus is asleep because he is assured that God is in charge. Let me finish this recap. He wakes up. He sees his boys. He jumps up. The wind and the wave. Woo! Pow! Jesus gets up and says, "Shh." Hey. Shh. How many, when you were growing up, your daddy could look at you? What is that? What you doing? Your daddy. What? My daddy just reached over and hold his belt for a second. Because I was active, all ADD. Ah! Dino. Ah! All he had to do was look at me. That's a gift from God. All you got to do is look at your children. Jesus gets up and just looks at the, hey, and winds like, the waves, light it, up out. I'm going to go somewhere else. Immediately, boom, storm's over. He then looks at his disciples and he says these words that he says to you and I. Why can't you trust me? Why can't you trust me? How long are we going to be together? How many miracles do you have to see? How many lame have to walk? How many blind eyes have to open? How many thousands have to be fed before you will trust me? We ought to let that sink in for a little bit. Why can't you trust me? Healing Place to live and to discover and go to a better life, like John 10, chapter 10, verse 10 says that Jesus promises to give us abundant life. We have to remember, and I think it's something for us to remember, that you and I are going to have to learn how to deal with storms, but also we're going to have to learn how to deal with middles, the middle of things. He looks at his disciples and says, "Why can't you trust me?" He looks at us and says, "Why can't you trust me when you're in the middle of something?" See, they were in the middle of the lake. There was a beginning, there was a middle, and there was an end. In life, you have beginnings, you have middles, and then you have ends. Why? Because middles are always going to happen. The middle represents our stuff, our life, trials, people, places, time, doubts, fear, defeats. In life, we will have to learn how to deal with the middle, because guess what? A lot of times, you spend a little bit of time at the beginning, you spend a little bit of time at the end, you spend a whole lot of time in the middle. Most of the time, you will spend more time in the middle of something, in the middle of a dream, in the middle of a promise, in the middle of raising your kids, in the middle of your marriage, than you are at the beginning or the end of those things. But see, God sees everything. We sometimes only see a part of it. We only see mostly, God, we see something excited and we see the end of something, but we never want to go through the middle of something. Lord, can you pluck me up? How many's ever played the game? You put the quarter in it and an arm goes over like a plush animal, a stuffed animal. You see it at Chuck E. Cheese or somewhere like that, CC's Pizza, and it goes, and it picks up a stuffed animal and it brings it over and it drops it off, but you spend like $800. I just go in there now and give the guy $20 and say, hey, can I have a Smurf? The idea is it goes in, it plucks it. Many of us in our life, we would rather trust God through the plucking of one thing to another. We don't want to trust God in the middle. If you can just pick me up from where I'm at and just take me to where I know that you're going to bring me, because I trust you, Lord, on the end. And I trust you when I'm blessed, and I trust you when I get the car and when the car's paid for and when I got that fine man who's paying for my car, but I don't have any time in the middle. Come on, somebody. It's the middle that gives us the difficulty. You're going to have to learn to deal with your middle. Touch your neighbor and say, you got to have to deal with your middle. You're just going to have to learn how to deal with it. See, I believe God allows the middle to happen so we can see him and we can look to him. Why? Because in the middle is where the Holy Spirit process happens. So often we get stuck in the middle. The middle sometimes represents that failure or that defeat. I want to encourage you today that the storms in your life are here to strengthen you, not shipwreck you. So, well, Dino, I'm drowning, I'm sinking, and I feel like the Lord is sleeping. It's kind of my life right now. I just feel like I'm sinking, and everywhere I look, I just see the Lord just cuddled up sleeping. He's not involved in my life. Jesus is in your boat. You're going to get to the other side. If he's in your boat, you're going to get to the other side. I want to finish up, and I want to give you 4 points on how to deal with your middle on your better life destination. Deal with your middle. Deal with your middle. My mother used to tell me, you need to deal with your schoolwork. We had a dog that went crazy. You got to deal with that dog. You know? You ever been somewhere and a child acting crazy and you want to say to that parent, you need to deal with your child. Throwing sand at my son in the sandbox, beating him upside the head with a rubber hammer. Can you deal with your son? You ever seen anybody deal? You ever seen anybody? You want to tell somebody, can you deal with that? I believe the Lord is saying to us, deal with your middle. Learn to deal with the middle. Here's the first thing as it relates to dealing with your middle is the D represents don't be distracted by the middle. Too often we're in the middle of something, we get distracted. Don't get distracted in your marriage. Don't get distracted in your faith, your commitment. Just because you're in the middle of something doesn't mean you need to quit or you're going to drown. Stay in the boat. Guess what? Jesus is in the boat. He's going to get you to it. Don't be distracted. If you're in the middle of something right now, don't get distracted and mistake the middle for defeat and for failure. You don't have to be defined by the middle. With God, remember, there is a beginning, there is a middle, there is an end. Keep going through the middle, because through the middle, there is another side. God will bless you on the other side. God will bless you during these times. Here's what the E stands for, and I really believe this. It means to eliminate fear. Can I tell you, the devil is not only a liar, he is a good liar. Have you ever seen the difference between a liar and a good liar? Come on, somebody, help me. You know how you know how when somebody lies to you and you know they're lying to you? Your kids or relationship, you know when they're lying to you. The way they hold their mouth or the way they get nervous or they get fidgety or they won't look at you. They're not a good liar. Have you ever had to tell somebody, you're not a good liar. I know you're not telling me the truth. I know you did that. I did. Or you start talking to them, all of a sudden, big red spots right there. Pow! I'm not lying. You know, you're not a good liar. It's written all over your face. The devil is a very good liar. He will tell you an amazing lie. He will give you, not only will he give you a lie, he'll give you reasons for your lie. He'll lay it all out to you. Matter of fact, it's such a good lie, it doesn't look like a lie. It almost looks like the truth. He is a good liar. And when we get in fear, we are very susceptible to lies. When we panic, when there's depression, when we get defeated, it's like we just open up more to lies. They were not drowning. Jesus was in the boat. Do you really think Jesus is going to drown in the middle? And the Lord goes forth and he reaches the multitude and then he drowns in a lake. The end. I mean, that's it. That's all. That's our faith. That's our story. He heals everybody. He calls Lazarus forth, but he can't find a life preserver. I mean, that's it. That's it. I mean, that's for real. That's what's going to happen here. He's not drowning. We're not dying. Jesus put him in the boat. So if he put him in the boat, obviously he can take care of them while they're going through a storm. There's somebody on the other side of it. But we're in the middle of stuff. Guess what? We get paranoid. We get suspicious. We see things that are not there. We hear things that are not happening. And we make it bigger or worse. You know, the enemy is great at making it worse than it is. It's finding, you cough. I got cancer. I coughed. I mean, there are terrible things that happen. There are tragedies that go on. But it's amazing how fear will amplify anything in your life. You don't feel fulfilled. You feel lonely. All of a sudden you think, it must be my spouse. It must be my marriage. Maybe there's one day that you don't feel happy. And I was, well, I need to find somebody else. What's that? That's fear. That's not making out the truth. We're in a storm. Can't see well in a storm. If you're going to learn how to deal with your middle, you got to eliminate fear. And then the A stands for acknowledge Jesus. He can help you. Jesus is good at saying, shh, acknowledge me. Come to me. I mean, the one thing they did do well is they came to Jesus. I'm glad they didn't start jumping overboard. And now Jesus has got to go like, calm the storm and pluck a few disciples out of the water. Okay, shh, come here. I mean, at least they did stay in the boat. That's a win. Acknowledge Jesus. And then the last thing, which is so important, is look around. If he can calm the storm, he can take care of you. I don't know if there's any greater power than being able to control the wind and the wave and the elements of the world. If he can calm the storm, he can direct your life and he can get you on the other side of anything. Remember, you're not dying in the middle. You're going to make it. Well, I'll tell you what will happen in the middle. You'll grow in the middle. You'll grow in the middle. So just be determined you're not going to die in the middle. You're just going to grow in the middle. At the end of the day, we all have middle moments to process. What happens in the middle is God wants you and I to learn how to trust him. You're going through stuff. You want a better life. There are going to be things that happen in the middle. Can I encourage you this morning, if you remember anything that we talked about today, is trust God. Trust God. Let's bow our heads. Let's pray together. Lord, I pray for every person today that is in the middle of something. I'm just going to take a moment. How many you're here today and you're in the middle of something? Would you just lift up your hand? Wow. It seems like we're always spending more time in the middle than in a new beginning or a closing of a chapter. That's fantastic. Can I encourage you? Trust God in the middle. Trust God in the middle. Don't doubt in the dark what God has spoke to you in the light. Deal with the middle. Don't be distracted. Eliminate the fear. Acknowledge Jesus. Look around you. God is good. If he can take care of those things, he can take care of your life. I can promise you that right now.
Thank you for listening. For more information about Healing Place Church, go to healingplacechurch.org or give us a call at 225-753-2273.